Solution visits Tehran International Book Fair. Iran and India stress enhanced bilateral ties, sign 4 MOUs to expand cooperation. Wahhabi extremists continue desecrating Muslim sanctuaries. Iran's Qom Seminary canceled classes to protest the desecrating Muslim sanctuaries. And Syrian president's honors killed students. In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful, hello everyone, and welcome to this edition of Iranian and English News with me, Nima Chitsas. Leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, visited the 26th Tehran International Book Fair on Saturday. The leader was accompanied by Iranian Minister of Culture and Islamic Guidance, Sayyid Mohammad Hosseini, and head of the 26th Tehran International Book Fair, Ali Ismaili. During the visit, Ayatollah Khamenei conversed with a number of authors and publishers and was briefed on Iranian publications in the last year. Iranian officials say Tehran Book Fair receives the most number of visitors in the world. The annual Tehran International Book Fair kicked off at Tehran's Imam Khomeini Musalla on Tuesday and will continue work for 10 days. About 2,545 domestic and 1,600 foreign publishers from 77 world countries have participated in the event. Iran and India have stressed enhancing of mutual ties between Tehran and New Delhi. The Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad said both Iran and India should try their best in creating more effective ties. In a meeting with the visiting Indian Ministry of External Affairs, Salman Khurshid, Ahmadinejad said the communities between Iran and India will lead the two states to improve their ties and relations more than any time before. For his part, the Indian minister said the joint Iran-India Economic Commission has played a major and positive role in widening the ties between Tehran and New Delhi. He added that his country is fully keen to enhance social, agricultural, and economic ties with the Islamic Republic of Iran. The Indian Minister of External Affairs also met and conferred with the Speaker of Iran's Majlis-e-Ali Parliament, Ali Larijani. During the meeting, the two sides discussed ways to enhance relations between the two countries in different fields. In another meeting with Iranian Foreign Minister Ali Akbar Salehi, the Indian side, Salman Khurshid, discussed development of bilateral relations, ways of strengthening relations between the two countries, and facilitate financial exchanges. During the meeting, the two sides also signed 4 memoranda of understanding to expand cooperation between the two countries. Wahhabi extremists damaged the mausoleum of a highly revered Shiite figure in Jordan on Saturday after desecrating the shrine of another Muslim figure in Syria a few days ago. The Wahhabis attacked the mausoleum of Ja'far al-Tayyar, a close companion of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and torched his grave in Karak province in southern Jordan. The desecration of al-Tayyar's grave came only a few days after Wahhabi-backed Nusra Front attacked the mausoleum of Hujar ibn Adi in the Damascus suburb of Adra and exhumed his grave, taking his remains to an unknown location. Adi was a close companion of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and also a companion of Imam Ali, the first Shiite Imam, peace be upon him. Senior Iranian cleric Grand Ayatollah Nasser Makarem Shirazi has warned of U.S. and Zionist plots to create a religious rift in the Muslim world through encouraging the violation of Islamic sanctities. Ayatollah Nasser Makarem Shirazi slammed the recent desecration of the tomb of Shiite Muslim figure Hujar ibn Adi on the outskirts of Damascus. Meanwhile, clerics at the Qom Seminary canceled classes on Saturday to protest the tragic incident and the violation of Islamic sanctities. The protesters also chanted slogans against the perpetrators and their Wahhabi supporters, They also issued a statement condemning the so-called Free Syrian Army for conducting such shameful acts. Iran's foreign minister, in separate letters to UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon, Secretary General of Organization for Islamic Conference Ikmaluddin Ihsanoglu, and Director General of UNESCO Irina Bokova, condemned the recent sacrilege of Islam's religious sanctities. Ali Akbar Salehi said, "The continuation of such wrong measures could flame conflicts among great divine religions." Salehi also urged all international bodies to try their best in protecting sanctities of Muslims and Christians. Elsewhere, Iran's parliament speaker, in a message, condemned the sacrilege of Islam's religious sanctities. Ali Larijani condemned the Syrian terrorists' new crime of desecrating and exhuming the grave of Hujr ibn Adi. Larijani called on the UN and UNESCO to take the necessary action to prevent the destruction of Muslims' religious and cultural sites. Meanwhile, Iranian Deputy Foreign Minister for Arab and African Affairs also strongly condemned the desecration of the shrine of a prophet Shiite figure in Syria by Wahhabi extremists. Amir Abdullahian said, "The perpetrators of such ugly acts are affiliated to the Zionist regime, who have conducted similar attempts at holy Muslim sites in the occupied territories." The Iranian Deputy Foreign Minister warned the masterminds of such inhumane acts that they will receive a response that will make them sorry for what they have done. Now, Iran's Executive Election Committee has convened for the first time ahead of the country's presidential vote on June 14. The Saturday meeting was chaired by Interior Minister Mustafa Mohammad Najjar. The committee announced that the executive phase of the election would begin on Wednesday, with 67,000 polling stations starting their work. Najjar warned that candidates are not permitted to use state facilities in their campaigns, and the judiciary will deal with any such violation. The minister noted that, like previous presidential elections, necessary measures have been made for Iranian nationals abroad to be able to vote. More than 20 presidential hopefuls have so far declared their presidential bids. Iran's 11th presidential election will be held on June 14. Presidential hopefuls can register from May 7 to 11. The president of Iran is elected for a four-year term in a national election. And here's another look at tonight's top stories. Leader of the Islamic Revolution Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei visits Tehran International Book Fair. Iran and India stress enhanced bilateral ties, sign four MOUs to expand cooperation. Wahhabi extremists continue desecrating Muslim sanctuaries. Iran's Qom Seminary canceled classes to protest desecrating Muslim sanctuaries. And Syrian President honors killed students. Syrian President appeared on Saturday among hundreds of students to inaugurate a monument at the Damascus University. Bashar al-Assad's appearance came in a show of respect to the souls of the Syrian students who were killed during the country's two-year crisis. Meantime, Syrian troops have driven out foreign-backed militants from the northwestern city of Aleppo as part of their clearing operations in the country. Syrian government forces completely flushed out militants from the towns of Aziza and Tel Hassan. The army says it also discovered tunnels dug by the militants in Aziza and secured a strategic bridge that links several towns in the Aleppo countryside. The Syrian forces regained control over two key areas in Ghouta, near the capital Damascus, where a large number of militants were killed in the operations. The military also succeeded in securing the Al-Mashtal region, which is located near the western city of Homs. Meantime, Syrian forces attacked a large number of armed rebels that unleashed a wide-scale attack against Managa Air Base in Syria's Aleppo by rebels. No further details were released about the incident. Vote results show Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki's coalition has won most provincial council seats in 7 of the 12 provinces. According to the results released on Saturday, Maliki's State of Law coalition has won the largest single block of seats in last month's vote. The coalition led in Baghdad, Karbala, Babel, Divaniya, Basra, Dhiqar, and Muthanna provinces and tied in the 8th province of Wasit. The result is expected to offer a measure of support for Iraq's political blocs ahead of next year's parliamentary elections. Iraqis voted on April 20 in provincial elections in the first polling since the withdrawal of U.S. troops in December 2011. About 8,138 candidates competed for 447 provincial council seats. Now Hungarians on Saturday held a rally in protest against Zionism and World Jewish Congress, beginning its meeting on Sunday in Budapest. Protesters said, disregarding the written and unwritten rules of international law, Zionist regime pushed out the indigenous Palestinian nation from its own land. They added that the move is genocide. Protesters also urged an end to Zionism and said, any lawmaker or public servant holding dual Hungarian-Israeli citizenship should resign.
Only the show of strength is effective against the unscrupulous Zionist advance. Our country is under Zionist subjugation, the targeted colony of Zionism, where we, the local citizens, play at most a small part.
Zionist occupiers, investors and expansionists should look for a country in another part of the world, because Hungary is not for sale.
In Spain, people living in a northern region of Galicia say they have decided to sell their homes due to the ongoing harsh economic crisis in the country. They also said the crisis has affected their lives, and because of this, they have to do so despite their desire.
Eventually, we came across this one, which is a completely abandoned village. And literally, this house you can see behind me was a hole in the ground. It had a tree growing out of it about 5 meters high, and it'd been abandoned for 30 years. So, said, woof, it's a lot of work. Thought, well, how much is this going to cost? Well, couldn't believe it, a whole lot. I mean, do you want to know how much? 45,000 euros, not pounds, euros. If you've got some skills and are prepared to get into it yourself, then I would say yes. But as I said before, you've got to be dedicated, because there's times you think, am I doing this? Why am I doing this? And then times you think, well, you come here and look around and think, I know why I'm doing this now.
A roadside bomb struck a military vehicle of NATO-led troops in the Taliban former stronghold of Kandahar province on Saturday, leaving at least 7 troops dead. The local officials said the NATO forces were on patrol in Naivan district when a roadside bomb struck their vehicle. Meanwhile, an Afghan soldier shot dead 2 soldiers serving with the NATO. NATO, in a statement, confirmed the death, but did not identify the nationalities of the victims and the exact place of the incident. So far this year, 47 NATO-led forces, 33 of whom were Americans, have been killed in the conflict-ridden Afghanistan. And on that note, we come to a wrap of this edition of iRyan and English News. Join us tomorrow with the latest updates. Till then, take care and have a very great time. Goodbye now.